think the live show went pretty well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a cold open, aren't we?
Well, not anymore. We're not. Maybe I should have told you.
No, it's cool. Let's take it again.
Okay. I think the last show went pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, I think it went pretty well.
Like, I mean, I cut out all the stuff where it got...
We got ugly?
Yeah, with the C word and stuff.
Yeah, good, because Jessica just wouldn't stop saying it.
Yep. La, episode 401. Ballrooms and biscottis. Biscotti and ballrooms. It's the fourth premiere. Oh, yeah. Transitional year.
College.
College. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are
the Gilmore Guys.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, we're in season 4.
I can't believe we made it.
It feels like an accomplishment. I don't know if it actually is, though.
More podcasts have more episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really, who cares?
But they've been on longer.
Yeah.
You know? Like, compare us to... I mean, how did this get made? That took, like, 6 years for them to get to 100 episodes. We'll beat them by the end of the year.
Oh, my God.
That's what it's all about.
Are we better than... No.
I think so. I think that's what I'm getting at.
Are you guys exhausted?
No.
All the time.
Drink if Demi's tired.
Yeah, that is a game.
That's legitimately a game. But man, I feel like also in the live show, because we were short for time, we didn't get to do like a season 3 in review of like what we thought of the whole year and of the whole season. So let's just do a quick one of those right now. I liked it.
Me too.
Cool.
All right.
Moving on to season 4.
Thank God this podcast exists for your in-depth analysis.
Yeah. This is
our comprehensive talks and chats about nothing.
Practically director's commentary.
But the Gilmore Girls. Yes, yeah, so... Something we haven't done in a long time is giving it up to the fans, because it's all about them fans. And so to do so, as you know, we have the iTunes Review Challenge, where if you leave a review on iTunes, we will, in fact, indeed rep your name on the show in honor, in tribute, perhaps in memory of you if you've passed away. Since
writing the review.
Yeah, perhaps.
You're like, I'm going to write this review while driving to work.
Yeah, I'm going to live forever. But we need a little help to do it, so we've enlisted our guest today to help us. So, Demi, why don't you drop this sick beat?
You know I will.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Rap. You want to start this off, Kevin?
I don't, but I will. Cuggs was the first name on the list, and I think you get the gist. Tatiana Red, it's going straight to my head. Ashbin 08, she is pretty great. Emily Knives, Ja. Kate Janeway, I want to break away with you.
No more guys, stilliness. That's the thing that we do right here. M. Nicole S., you're the best. Don't rest. Saster, is that Say E Easter? What's the name there?
Oh,
snarky
no.
Mom, don't be snarky. Have a good time.
Oh, this guy, he is bringing the fuego. Yes, it's Purple Diego. Oh. Becky, she's in KC, but beware of the Jub Bird cannoli. 83.
Miranda, T-Flow, Miss Marley B, CJ Jones, ZZ. One more name, Nicole. Also, but there's actually 6 others. Il Dico, you're a sicko. Britchick 42, yay, you. Jingle 164, I would never say you're a whore.
Hey, East Coast Billy, what's up? Don't be silly, what's up? Be like the Buffmaster, he's tough. Oh, our Frankie 12. I don't know anything that rhymes with 12. Maybe Hell like a movie shelf. Called Elf. The last one on the list is Cosmo Girl Pink. Do you think that she's a fan of us? I hope so.
I think.
Yeah.
Cosmo Girl Pink. Cosmo Girl Pink. Cosmo Girl Pink.
Cosmo Girl Pink.
Cosmo Girl Pink.
Cosmo Girl Pink. Perfect.
Yeah, another flawless rap. We're back for season four.
Yeah, we wrote one for the live show.
Yeah.
But what a mistake that was, because that was way better than anything
we really should
have done.
Freestyled what we remember about season four or season three.
Yeah. But let's get into the episode today. But before we get into that, we got to introduce our guest.
Officially.
Officially, although you've already heard him, and you've already heard him on this show, ladies and gentlemen, it is Jeff Hiller.
La la, la la, my name's Jeff. Is back.
Cool, Jeff. Thanks for coming back.
You're welcome.
What if I just did this whole podcast singing like that?
Please
do. We almost threatened to do something like that every episode in the past.
Well, I wonder what would it be like to do like
a musical episode,
but then make that the live show.
It would be, we give someone control of musical cues and we're just like, hit them at random. Here's 10 songs and we just have to start singing.
And they're all by Gavin DeGraw.
Yeah. Just 10 remixes of I Don't Wanna Be.
I'm into it. Yeah. Jeff, thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a two-time offender to the Gilmore Guys.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. You were brought back by popular demand.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually...
Yes, that made me feel very excited. Three people tweeted. Three!
More than three. Was it just three?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was more than three.
I only saw three.
I've heard more than three since we've had you on.
Well,
definitely more than three. We've gotten emails and Facebook messages.
It was very fancy. It made me feel very excited.
Yay!
You got Snapchats?
Oh, millions
it's
of Snapchats.
It's a good thing we recorded
for Jeff
them.
Hiller. Well, let's get into the episode discussion, guys. Let's stop just stroking Jeff's ego.
No, keep going.
Okay, Jeff, you're so great. What was it like to fist bump Matt Damon?
You fist bumped Matt Damon?
Yeah.
I did.
Dude.
What do you... What?
Dude.
What?
America knows about this.
I don't know about this.
It's a season 5 episode 30 Rock called Double-Edged Sword.
Your brain is so crazy. Your brain is like...
It's Bruce
encyclopedic.
Emily Bishop and 30 Rock.
Kelly Bishop, young man.
Why did I say Emily Bishop?
I don't know.
Because she plays Emily Gilmore.
Yeah.
I don't know the difference between real and fake.
I don't know the episode number, though. I'm not, like, autistic
He's
about
lying.
It.
He's
514.
Well, is it actually?
I know. I happen to know that.
Everyone go download that one episode.
Or watch it for free on Netflix.
Or 304. I'm also in that episode.
Oh, is the hotel clerk?
Yes.
Okay.
Good brain. I am impressed.
Oh, man. But what was it like to fist bump Matt Damon?
It was great. I had a huge crush on him since Talented Mr. Ripley. And when I met him on set, he was just a really sort of nice, boring guy who talked about his kids and baseball all the time. And I was like, oh, he's just a dad.
He strikes me as just a dad in the best way.
Just like a really handsome dad.
Right.
Right. Who can also like do fight scenes in Bourne Identity.
A handsome dad minus the dad bod. Do we know about this?
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
By the time this comes out, it might be over.
I hope so. or maybe I don't. I don't know if it's like good or bad for men.
I have no idea.
It's just interesting, the cultural perceptions, blah, blah. I just put myself to sleep just thinking about it.
Yeah, whoa.
This is episode 401, the season premiere, Ballrooms and Biscotti. An alliteration, the Netflix synopsis of which is, after returning from a summer of backpacking through Europe, Rory and Lorelai frantically prepare for Rory's move to attend Yale. Move to attend Yale. That's weird.
It is a weird phrasing. You know what I realized, though, is Netflix has season synopses, and they're usually just...
Ooh.
It's kind of written by someone who's clearly like, I'll just Google what happens here. I wrote down the fourth season synopses, and
okay.
It is... They just keep getting better when they aren't battling life-changing travails, that is. Those beloved Gilmore girls, Rory and Lorelai, return for a fourth hit season filled with snappy dialogue and intriguing stories.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so many words saying so little.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is very empty.
I looked up the other ones. I didn't write them down, but they're pretty much
similar. It starts with wow.
It says they just keep getting better.
Oh, they just keep, wow, they just keep getting better.
They just love, keep getting better.
I love how they say, those beloved Gilmore girls.
Like, we all know them, we all love them.
Yeah.
They're your Gilmore girls. Now, something, a promise I made a couple episodes ago that I haven't really been keeping up, but from now on, I hope we do, is playing the WB promos for this show.
They just keep getting better.
On a fresh Gilmore Girls. Because they would call them fresh. They wouldn't call them new. They'd call them a fresh Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
So
I wish on the reruns they were like, on a stale Gilmore Girls.
This one's a filler.
On a reheated, microwaved Gilmore Girls. So there's some promo compilations on YouTube of not all the episodes, but select ones. And there was one for episode 401. So I just want to play for you the promo. This is how this episode was marketed to people at the time. So here we go. Here's the promo.
It's the season premiere of Gilmore Girls on the WB's New Tuesday. A friendship once full of possibility.
Do you have feelings for this man?
Maybe I do.
Takes an unexpected turn.
Something happened between you and Nicole?
We got married.
You got married?
There's more.
Gilmore Girls.
I love the, first of all, I love all the cymbal rolls, the shh. And then I love the you got married? There's more. Gilmore Girls. Like,
I like how the male announcer is like, I've got to put a little whimsy in my voice.
Yeah a little bit.
The Gilmore Girls.
It is.
It's not supernatural. It's the Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
This series so might good. Have magic in it.
Well, one of our guests thought it was about witches until he watched it.
I'm still not convinced it's not about witches.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Who
in season
that?
7. A guy named John Paul Green came on the show, and he got it mistaken with Charmed, or he compounded the two in his head. But no, it's not about witches, to our knowledge.
It's not the power of three, it's the power of two.
we don't know how the seventh season turns out. It could turn out to be about witches.
But what is the song playing at the end of this, too?
Between you and Nicole?
We got married.
Baby.
You got married?
There's
more. Gilmore Girls.
Is that like...
That's what Rory was saying. Don't go so fast. I don't even know what that is. But they used 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton nonstop in the season 2 promos. I'm so mad I didn't pull those. Maybe we'll just have like a promo bonus episode where we just listen to them all because they're so, so good. There's more.
Isn't it so crazy to watch something that took place in like 2002, which this did, right? Or 2003?
This is 2003, fall of 2003.
And like to see their phones and stuff, like how old-fashioned their phones look. They're so crazy looking.
Or in the next episode, they're still, I think this is probably out of date even at the time. In the next episode, there's a pager.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. In 2003.
Come quick, Mom.
Yeah,
totally.
Weird. But let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every single pop culture reference in the episode, put them together in a supercut, listen back and see what we can make of it. So this is episode 401, Ballrooms and Biscotti, Pop Goes the Culture.
And they had a whole set of Alice in Wonderland pipes that Mom wanted to get.
Go to drama school or have one of those high-class naked parties with that Bush girl.
We were supposed to watch The Three Godfathers and Sophia dying over and over and... What? This is Stars Hollow. Everything you buy here has a Hello Kitty stamp on the bottom. Jim Morrison says hello.
Originally, I took two. Then somewhere around 4 a.m, I woke up and had a major Marilyn moment.
You know, you've got Rory locked in here with the Mambo Kings, and so I popped a third one, and now I'm about ready to sleep with the Kennedy.
Well, I hear Carrie's available.
All you need is six dancing penguins and Mary Poppins floating in the corner to bring back two of the worst hours of my childhood.
Why don't you sit here for hours? Patty Hearst had a shorter incarceration.
That's Corky and Shirley Ballas. I love them.
Ricky Ricardo didn't know, Dick Van Dyke didn't know, and by gum, if it was good enough for Rick and Dick, it's good enough for me.
I thought you'd been kidnapped by some crazy Sandinistas or something.
Did you see Anne Frank's house to cry? Was Steven Spielberg there? Huh? Or hey, I hear you text the Pope!
So you hear about that whole Sputnik thing?
Oh, Eisenhower's on top of it.
Yeah, you better walk really fast. Like warp speed Mr. Sulu kind of fast.
Because you two owns it and Bono hangs out there.
Ah, him again.
This is Iran in 79 and you are Jimmy Carter.
So that last reference, the Jimmy Carter thing, because Roy's being held hostage essentially by Emily at the dinner because Emily's having a reaction to Lorelai not being there. I remember in high school... I don't know if I got it from this episode, because at this point, I'd definitely seen it, but I made the reference in drama class. I was talking to a friend of mine. I was giving him shit. I was like, oh, you abandoned me. Like Jimmy Carter abandoned the hostages. And my drama teacher got so mad and said, Jimmy Carter did not abandon the hostages.
Oh my God.
Your drama teacher didn't say, holy crap, how do you know that?
Yeah.
Very tiny piece
of... I mean, we were in high school, so I guess we're supposed to be learning stuff.
You're secretly a full adult.
Yep, no, but so that reference always sticks out to me because of the emotional weight behind it.
Yeah. The emotional weight of your drama teacher just getting really mad at you. How dare you?
I don't even remember her name because she wasn't even our main drama teacher.
Was it Jimmy Carter's wife?
It was Mrs. Carter. It was a different Rosalind Mrs. Carter.
Beyonce?
Yeah, it was Beyonce.
Oh my gosh, Beyonce was your drama teacher.
Yep. Our warm-ups were crazy. Okay, so this is written and directed by Miss Amy Sherman-Palladino, who tends to do that with the season premieres and finales. Overall, it's one of those episodes I feel like kind of like the last two season premieres, so essentially everything but the series premiere, where it's like there's nothing really happens. You're just kind of coming back in the world.
Until the end.
Yeah, until the end, there's nothing really like, there's no event. There's no like, and then here's this thing, other than like, there's more. We got married. Other than that, but that's not even
also,
really.
Also, did they spoil it in the promos?
Yeah.
Why?
They did.
That was a big surprise to
me. Yeah, but what you don't, but he then reveals that he was divorced. So.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that's the reveal.
Yeah.
So it's a mislead and then a fake out and then a double down Philly fake out.
The old double down Philly fake out.
Yep.
I thought WB would never pull that move again.
Oh, that is
I've been burned before.
WB.
Ever would, ever wouldn't, in my opinion.
Wow.
Excuse me.
What a subgenre. WB 2000s dramas.
We're going to have to do all of them after this show is over.
Yeah, I guess.
Everwoodies.
I am so tired just thinking about it.
Everwoodies, Supernaturalists.
Charm Chaps.
The Charm Chaps. Seventh Kevin. That's just me monologuing about it.
I'm going to take a break.
The Gossip Boys?
Gossip Boys has been suggested, but I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no to doing it.
I don't think it'll work.
Yeah.
Really? I saw the pilot and the second episode last night, and...
You're hooked?
I'm into it.
Is it on Netflix?
Yes.
All right, well, I won't spoil it for you then.
Well, sincerely, I'm wondering what we're... You know, can you help us workshop this right now, Jeff? This seems as good a time as ever. Mm-hmm. Once we do Gilmore Guys and we finish this journey, and we might come back and do like bonus episodes or live shows after the initial run of episodes is done. But we're going to do Bunhead Bros after that. But then after that, what do we do?
Bunhead Bros.
Oh, we're doing Bunhead Bros. 100%.
I love it. Listen, there's always going to be a really cult favorite one-hour drama on Netflix. And if not... Just be the friends' friends.
The friends' friends? Someone's already got that locked down. Best of Friends podcast.
Wow. These podcasts. I got to get out there.
You got it.
I got to get my butt on iTunes.
What shows are even left, though?
What shows? We'll just have to... To me, I truthfully don't think I want to do another TV show.
Me neither.
After Bunhead Bros. I think I'm going to be burnt out on episodic TV.
We got to go to movies. Fast and Furious.
But I don't even know, or could it be we could do like episodes of TV shows, but all different kinds, or something where it's like we examine like female culture from the lens of like two earnest guys who aren't there to make fun of it, but something like
let's
Gilmore
mansplain
Girls,
mansplain every
mansplaining girl stuff.
That'd be a great title.
The mansplanation.
Oh my God, mansplaining.
The mansplanation.
Great. Well, it's official, guys.
Welcome to the Mansplanation.
Where we tell you what's happening with these ladies.
Yeah, these dumb broads.
You should do the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I binge watched that entire series last year.
Mary Tyler Men.
Mary Tyler Men.
It is good.
Holds
Still
up.
Holds up.
Better than Cheers?
Equal with Cheers.
Ooh, high praise.
High praise.
Cheers always gets, I feel like gets the shaft when people like talk about sitcoms now.
Really? I feel like Cheers is the one that everyone's like, Cheers is always great.
If you want a good pilot, watch Cheers.
Yeah, that's exactly what they told me in school.
Who said that to you too much?
I like every person who's like, you should write a pilot.
I mean, it is a good pilot.
In school, there was like, we're going to watch Cheers.
What is the worst pilot?
The one who...
You mean the worst pilot for a show that ended up being really good?
Yeah.
Because I would say 30 Rock is up there.
Yeah, I that's the first thing I thought of.
Also Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec isn't great.
I was thinking
that whole first season.
I was thinking of the one who landed that plane in the Hudson.
Sully. Captain yeah. Sully.
Sully Sullenberger. Sully
Sullenberger. Yeah, he's the worst pilot.
Like, come on, dude. Just maybe fly the plane in the sky like the rest of them.
Oh, man. Okay, so starting in this season, in season 4, they actually start composing for widescreen. So up to this point, if you're watching it for the first time on Netflix or rewatching it, seasons 1 through 3 are in widescreen, but they were not shot that way, which is why you see sometimes lighting equipment and crew members on the edges. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen sometimes. But season 4 is the first one where they're like, we're broadcasting in widescreen. We're going to shoot for widescreen, basically, with like safe edges.
Oh, man. So no more boom mics.
Oh, I think there's still boom mics because the boom mics was never a widescreen versus full screen thing. That was like just top of the frame. Yeah. But it's in widescreen now. The credits are composed for widescreen as opposed to be window boxed like they were for seasons 1 and 3. And the credits are different now. Rory has a new shot. Kirk has a new shot. Lane has a new shot. And then I think, Luke gets one too that I think is much better.
There's a very recent shot in there that I'm forgetting now because I didn't want to take note of it and be like, oh no, that was there the entire time.
Oh, it was the shot of Luke going like this. He's just like, yeah, peace out. And he extends his hand because that's from 402.
Oh.
I believe.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it. But then overall too, credits aside, it looks like the visual style is just like a little bit richer. Like it's a little more saturated than I feel like it's been in the past.
It feels a lot like this is the Gilmore Girls that I would see all the time when just in passing on the TV.
They finally have enough money.
Yeah.
To hire a DP to just like boost the saturation by 10%.
Exactly. They got lights.
I think so, finally.
After 3 seasons, WB was like, you know what? I think this show's here to stay. And they gave them a little bit more money.
I think that's truthfully, that's not far from the truth. Probably. Yeah. Too bad Windward Circle didn't work out.
If only.
Do you know about that?
Mm-mm.
Windward Circle was the backdoor pilot for Jess that happened near the end of season 3.
Oh, right.
Where he went to Venice, but then it didn't work out.
Yes. By the way, can I mention how pleasantly surprised I am they didn't even mention Jess in this episode? Not just in the sense that I don't hate him, but in the sense that like she just went through a big breakup, and she's just kind of like, no, school's more important right now.
Yeah.
They don't even mention her.
And they just got back from backpacking.
Yeah.
So maybe, I'm sure that's on the mind as well.
Yeah.
Do you think... Is he off doing
Heroes? Is that what happened?
No, not at this point, because this is 2003. So I don't know what the issue is here.
It's just chilling.
If it's like he wants some time off or he didn't want to be on the show anymore, I don't know.
But they also mention several people and then they don't show them. Like they mention Lane, they mention Miss Patty, they mention...
Oh yeah, she says, I'll go see Lane, and then you don't see her.
Yeah, even Kirk is like, I talked to Miss Patty. they mention Miss Patty like 3 times, and they never just like toss poor Miss Patty a nice day player role.
Oh.
Maybe they're like, we can boost the saturation on this episode if some people don't come back for a bit.
Yes, you can thank Miss Patty for going without dinner one night for that beautiful vision.
That was where the money went. They had to cut actors so it could look better.
Yeah,
right. Poor Lane was like, well, I guess I won't send my second child to college.
But look how good the show looks.
Yeah, it was all worth it in the end. So one of the central conflicts, if we want to even call it that, in this episode is that Lorelai wants to spend more time with Rory, but they literally just spent like 2 months together in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, but no, I need time. And then it's kind of like a tug of war between her and Emily. Over a little bit at the end. But you know what's funny about that fight at the end, if we can skip ahead to that, where Lorelai does come over and Emily looks like she's about to choke her when she comes in while they're watching like the ballroom dancing, is the fight they have when she's like, Rory, go get tea from Gerda or whatever, is like they seem tired by it. Like they seem exhausted by the idea of having this fight anyway. Because they both at one point just go... You know, and they don't say it. They don't verbalize it per se. But it seems like, oh, I'm tired of this dynamic. Why are we doing this again?
Emily does that really great thing, too, when she first sees just Rory at the door, and she's like looking for Lorelai, but she doesn't ever say, like, she doesn't come out and say all these nasty things. Like, she says something sort of nasty to Rory, and you can see Rory sort of blanch at it. But they don't have a fight, because normal people don't have fights every day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, fights are really high stress and high drama.
Totally. She's just a little passive aggressive when she's like, oh, Richard, Lorelai's running errands. Isn't that nice? Blah, blah, blah. But it's never like, is that an improv rule thing that people don't have fights every day? So why would you start a scene with having a fight? Or,
well, yeah, it's the same as an improv where they say, like, if you pull out a gun, that's a really big deal. And, like, having a fight in life is a really big deal. That's not as big a deal as seeing a gun. But, you know, it's a big deal.
Depends on where you live.
That.
Welcome to Gun Town, where nobody ever fights.
Welcome to Gun Town.
We're going to mansplain it to you.
Mansplaining Gun Town. If we went from, like, Gilmore Guys to, like, the most off-puttingly masculine podcast possible. Beards and booze with the dudes or whatever.
You should do that Duck Hunter show or whatever.
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty dudes.
Duck dudes.
No. Duck dudes.
It would just be us going, like, in this episode, they talk about some ducks. And it's just like in our voice you can hear, it's like, we don't want to do this. We're committed to so many episodes. The show is still running.
We just wanted to butch it up.
Or you know what might be funny is, like, if we had a different guest on every time, and that we all three or four have to watch an episode that was assigned to us by whoever the previous guest was. So say Jeff's a guest, and this is episode one, and we get assigned something by someone. And then Jeff says, next time you guys have to watch this.
It would be Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, Mary Tyler Moore, and then we all have to watch it. Yeah. That might be fun. I don't know. This could all be a conversation off the air as well.
I was about to say, I love how...
I like it. You're bringing the listeners in.
This is like when you make plans to get dinner with, like, a friend who doesn't know anyone in the group. It's just like, let us figure this out, but you're still here.
Hang on. Yeah. Yeah, chill out. That look, though, when Emily does open the door and she just, like, lights up and beams, that's the biggest I think we've ever seen her smile up to this point.
Yeah.
Also, I don't mean this in a gross or way or in a, you know, talking about off-puttingly masculine. I think Emily looks kind of hot in this episode. I don't know if it's the hair or the outfit.
Her purple.
But something Kelly's doing is working for daddy.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't gross until you said for daddy.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Mm-hmm. Working for papa.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that makes it better, except for that it doesn't.
Or, I mean, guys, if we want to, where is it? Oh, if we want to talk about dirty.
Nice symmetrical balls there, Joshua. Easy on the nuts, easy on the nuts. One cherry and then present your sundae with the tailor tip.
Ribald.
Oh my God, Taylor in the ice cream shop. When he freaks out about the candy thing, I was like, they're all wrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the candy weirdo. Luke was as close to losing his mind as we've ever seen him in that scene.
He went crazy. You could see the hairs falling out.
Taylor, throughout the entire series, I know you haven't seen up to 7-7, but
it's fine.
I will tell you that throughout the entire series, he is such an irredeemable character. Like, in any other town that didn't have a troubadour walking around, people would be like, that guy's a dick.
Yeah.
Do not go to his store. He's an asshole.
It's such a small town. You think people would be like, oh, there's no reason to support the ice cream shop. Like, just don't go.
Yeah, just.
I guess he also has the only grocery store. But still, I mean, he is.
There are other grocery stores, I'm pretty sure.
Terrible.
Are there?
I feel like they make mention to another grocery store every so often. Or was it just that one episode where they had the vegetable guy?
I think it was just the vegetable guy.
Okay.
Vegetables and Dead Uncles.
Yeah.
That gem of an episode. Oh, also, I made a soundbite of that, too.
Look at all the pretty candy.
Look at all the pretty candy.
He's going crazy in that
episode. Look at all the pretty candy.
Gosh. What was the other one that I thought was so funny?
I should have killed you before. I should have killed you the minute you put up those unicorn topiaries in the park. But hey, hindsight, right?
Oh, yeah, when he's threatening him. He goes full on like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Like, that's how he
looks.
Look
at this place.
That was one.
I want him to come back with an axe.
What's Luke's real name?
Scott Patterson.
Mm-hmm. Scott Patterson has a career on the stage. He could do something. He could do like a good... Stanley Kowalski, I think.
Oh, you're saying he should have a career on the stage?
Yes.
Yes.
But instead of Stella, it would be Taylor.
Taylor.
Damn it, Taylor.
That'd be perfect. But yeah, so I guess that's all coming from a place of he just got married and divorced, and that's super stressful, and he's taking it out on Taylor. But
because he can't let it out, even when Suki asks him about the trip. Isn't it terrible?
Lorelai?
Well, Suki says it in the first
part,
too.
That's true.
But yes, Lorelai as well.
Okay, cool. I wasn't trying to... This isn't gotcha journalism.
Whoa. He has a button ready to go.
But I got you right back. Well, actually, in minute 22-3, Suki also asks him...
You out-portered Porter.
The reverse gotcha. Unprecedented.
Oh, man. Also, do you think... Like, so definitely, like, oh, nice symmetrical balls, that's a joke. Easy on the nuts, that's a joke. But do you think...
Taylor tip?
Present it with the Taylor tip.
Absolutely.
Is a joke?
Yeah. Rule of threes.
All. Yeah.
It's like,
Amy
it's just
Sherman
one cherry.
You know, she knows what she's doing.
I guess
she's
so.
She's like, dick joke one, dick joke two, and pow, dick joke three.
Hit him up
three.
with the cherry on top.
That seems more of a Daniel, but I don't know.
Maybe that was his line. He's like, we should get a dick joke in here real quick.
Well, you know, jokes.
They all collaborate in the room.
Right.
I like to imagine that was the joke that, like, in this episode they spent at least a solid hour on.
To refine it
and
make it as perfect as possible.
It's like, it's got the balls, it's got the nuts, but it needs something. Someone stands up and goes, Taylor tip. And everyone's just like, no, we couldn't. Taylor tip.
And then they're at home in bed thinking it over. I think that'll work.
No, it's a common, you know, like just the tip. I don't know. Is it too much? It's too much.
And do you think Standards and Practices had any note about it? Like, because a just the tip joke for a WB show is crazy. It's really...
Season 4, they let loose.
Yeah.
Standards and Practices was like, whatever. We don't even care
anymore.
Smells
like fish in here.
Oh, good.
Whatever.
But, you know, I just... also rewatched Friends, and that show had some crazy dirty stuff on it.
Yeah, no, I agree. The one episode we did a podcast about, we guest on a podcast about Friends, and the teaser was all about jerking it, and then one of the storylines was all about eating pee. So, yeah, it gets pretty dirty. I mean, they never say it explicitly, but yeah, they go there. They go there.
It's just a little raunchiness.
So, yummy. Does it make, like, the whole thing about the gifts, I didn't really care about. I found it weird that they got gifts for Suki and Patty and Andrew, they said they got a gift for.
Who's Andrew?
Andrew's, like, the one townie. Do you remember the townie at the, he was at the dance, the 24-hour dance-a-thon, and he was the one who broke up with the girl because he's like, you dance with Liam Neeson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Who's in it intermittently.
I don't even remember that person.
Yeah. Pretty forget.
And then they forget.
They forget Luke.
And Kirk.
Yeah.
Kirk's like the first person I get a gift for.
Poor Kirk. Oh, by the way, he's working in the makeup store again.
Yeah, good.
He didn't lose his job. Yeah, he's really good at it.
He really is. And I feel like that's the joke, but I'm still just like, look, he's doing a great job, so go for it. I also love that his hair is different now. It looks
oh
nice.
Yeah. Is that fashion?
I think it might be.
All right,
fashion.
Cool. So his hair, he's got a new haircut.
Looks great.
Looks pretty good. I think Suki got a haircut too, right?
Everyone got haircuts. Lorelai's hair looks great as always.
They had a whole summer off.
That's true.
I feel like, and again, not to be like a gross dude, but I feel like Lorelai and Rory are the most attractive up to this point in this season. I don't know, like, if it's a hair thing
Do
or just
mean
a general...
of their styles or, like, as people in the show?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean both. Style-wise, I don't know, but just, like, as people.
They probably also
attractive.
Got enough money for lighting and enough money...
For makeup?
For makeup and hair. Better hair
Good news, guys. Fourth season, we're going all out. You're going to get makeup. You're going to get trailers, all right? We're going to shoot you from
your good
angles.
One makeup person that they share.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Up until that point, they were just doing it themselves.
Yeah.
Taylor's ice cream shop suit looks like... It's Paul F. Tompkins who just did a show at Largo or something.
It looks like Super Ego.
Yeah, it looks like Super Ego.
Luke stole my Mary Poppins comment that I was going to make, but boy, what a great... He was just like, all you need is six penguins and Mary Poppins to... That was great.
Something bad happened to Luke while Mary Poppins was playing on TV. Something not right.
Someone happened. Came in and shot his parents, I'm sure.
That's his and origin story. He's just story. Got
like Jim Jimmery in his head.
Damn it, Poppins.
Damn it, Poppins.
Otherwise, what are the other fashion things?
Babette has a shirt when she comes running out of the house. And it looks thankfully. Like it's just covered. It looks like it's just covered in a card pattern of like playing cards or something.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
I didn't notice that one.
And Lorelai's hat at the beginning. Oh my God, that mm-hmm. like Dublin hat.
Yeah.
What's
the whole thing was a disaster.
She looks like Nardwar.
But that was not like, at the time it was fashionable and now it's not. That was
sure.
Like a... Isn't this funny? They just came back from Europe. Thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so.
In Lauren Graham's defense.
Okay, she also yeah. Has please that. Come to the defense of Miss Graham. She needs it.
Please. Because everyone's going to be talking about this for quite a while.
Yeah. What's funny is Sarah Ramos will like tweet pictures of her outfits
yeah.
on Gilmore Girls on Twitter, and she'll respond to them like, yeah, that one sucked. Lauren Graham will respond to them and say, like,
not
yeah,
a high
wasn't,
point.
Wasn't feeling that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a little revisionist history happening.
Well, she didn't get to choose, you know. I'm sure they had, even in the first season, they had enough money for a costume designer.
You don't think that the actress had a hand in shaping the wardrobe, though, a little bit?
I like to think that.
Maybe towards the end, but not in the beginning.
Before every shoot day, they go to, like, a Buffalo Exchange, and they're just like, pick one outfit.
You get one yeah. that you can wear one scene. It's like a clothing allowance. Them.
SJP in Sex and the City, mm-hmm. she didn't have control over her outfits until Whoa. Season 3 or 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Her outfits are pretty good, though.
So that's a
well, she
common...
had Pat Field. They didn't have that on the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Pat Field. I don't know who that is.
Patricia Field? She's
Is she like a famous costume lady?
Wildly famous.
Is she?
How dare you?
Is she like is she like didn't. The little girl? Is she like the small woman in The Incredibles?
No.
Edna?
She's yeah, more kind of wacky.
The small woman.
She's like
yeah, Miss
she's
Celine.
Like the bridge between that woman in The Incredibles and like Betsy Johnson, who's doing, you know, cartwheels on the runway.
Oh yeah, Betsy Johnson.
Wow, you guys, maybe your next one should be Fashion Boys, because you don't know Jack.
We're going to go to like the
Fashion Friends.
What's it? New York Fashion Week. I couldn't even think of the thing. And we'll just report from the runway. Just like, this one's got a hat on.
I don't think I'm all that plugged in. I feel like these people are famous. Do you know who Diane von Furstenberg is?
Yeah.
I've heard that name.
All right, good.
Isn't she like the only current working like female designer or like the big one?
No.
Well, I mean, like, of the big...
Because Donatella Versace is probably just as big as
oh, right.
Diane von Furstenberg.
What about that one where she's got white hair and she's always saying, like, that's all. And
Frozone?
She's really mean to Anne Hathaway.
You're thinking of The Devil Wears Prada, the Meryl Streep character?
Miranda...
July.
Priestley.
Priestley, not
July.
I said Miranda July by accident on this podcast, and I cut it out. After
oh, really?
Yeah. So, oopsie poopsie. On my part. I just remember Anne Hathaway running a lot in that movie.
Yeah, it was a runway.
Yeah, to montages.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly I say,
yeah. This is what I want.
And trying to balance work life with entourage.
Can
she
truly exactly. have it all?
Gosh.
Oh, I went and eat a grilled cheese with my equally greasy boyfriend.
Equally greasy.
Was that Adrien Grenier?
Grenier.
Oh, yeah.
Say what you want, Grenier. And this has been the Fashion Report. Oh, no. I thought you were going to do another one. I thought you had another one.
No, I just like to look down to my notes because I write down the lyrics for Fashion Report here.
Oh, okay. Yes, you don't forget them.
So I don't forget.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Fashion.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff, for joining in.
That was very exciting.
That's why we do it.
That is why we do it. Let me read you guys a quote from Mr. Sean Gunn, who plays Kirk.
Please.
This is from The Gilmore Girls Companion.
Which, by the way, is the size of a textbook easily.
Yeah. It's
it looks
not
like your
small.
Texas history book. Oh, if you went to school in Texas.
I did. We both did.
Oh, see? Doesn't it look like your Texas
history really
book?
It really does.
It truly does. Wait, we haven't discussed that you're from Texas as well.
Yes.
Texas episode.
Yeah, Texas episode.
Texas.
Yeehaw.
Just the tip.
just the panhandle. So this is a quote from Sean Gunn, who plays Kirk. From the Gilmore Girls companion book, he says, there are things that jump out as being extremely unpleasant. I guess he's talking about his time on the show. This didn't seem that bad, but I had to walk through wearing that parachute, and that parachute was just heavy as hell. I remember being very uncomfortable. So he's talking about the scene in this episode where Taylor, for the ice cream shop grand opening, needs a skydiver, apparently, and pays him $20 to do it.
$20.
And then...
again, reprehensible.
Yeah.
I mean, that
irredeemable.
Is... irredeemable. That is abuse.
Terrible man.
Yeah, like, Kirk is in an abusive relationship with Taylor. Is.
Yeah.
And you actually see that dynamic more in this episode. There's one with the egg hunt and one with... yeah, I can't wait to get to those, but... really bad. So apparently that's super uncomfortable. That happens. He comes back and he says, oh, the wind picked me up or whatever. And then he walks in the middle of Lorelai and Luke having a conversation at Lorelai's place.
Yeah.
I find this to be in the rewatch very interesting because this season has some interesting bookends. This one is called Ballrooms and Biscotti. The finale is called Raincoats and Recipes. So that was definitely intentional.
Yeah.
And then also in the finale, Kirk, in a very weird circumstance, which I won't say, interrupts Luke and Lorelai having a conversation in kind of a similar fashion. So I feel like in retrospect, that might have been intentional, or maybe I'm just reading too much into it. But maybe. I don't know.
Oh, the finale of season four you're talking about.
Yeah, not the show. But just as a book into this season. I think that would make sense.
Yeah.
Dinner is served, Mrs. Gilmar.
I wrote that too. I was like, is Bjork serving them?
Dinner is served, Mrs. Gilmar.
Today we'll be eating a feather cooked in a stew of another goose.
It's definitely delicious.
Wait, Demi, what would it sound like if Bjork were to have a conversation with Christoph Waltz?
Are you having a lovely evening, Bjork? I'm having a wonderful time. Thank you for inviting me.
Just a little bit different.
Just slightly raspier.
Thank you for coming to dinner, Bjork. Thank you for inviting me.
I mean, they're very polite. That's the good news.
They are.
They're very sweet.
They
to
know
each
their
other.
Manners.
I loved you in Inglourious Basterds. Thank you. I loved your new album, the one where you're on the cover in purple.
I'm getting them mixed up now.
Yeah.
Oh, that one
even had context.
Yes.
Remember when I was in a movie? Who was that?
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
They were both in movies.
They both were in movies.
Yeah, but it's more rare for Bjork.
It is. It's the one.
Bro. Emily says that she's been taping ballroom dancing since 1978.
Which I don't believe at all because she is scared of DVD players.
Exactly. She doesn't seem like an early adopter of a VCR. Yeah.
When was the VCR even... that seems like more of an 80s thing than a 70s thing.
She got in on the ground floor. She's like, I got to get something to record these ballroom dances.
Or maybe by recorded, she means like she set up like an 8mm camera and filmed her TV while ballroom dancing
but
was playing.
Why?
It's like super low tech. Why?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like an Emily thing to me. I don't know.
I don't know. She would go nuts for Dancing with the Stars if that was on during her time.
Well, you know, Kelly Bishop is a dancer.
She's That's a true. Dancer. Is she a ballroom dancer?
I don't know.
What type IDK. Of dancing does she do?
She was in the
step,
chorus
kick,
line.
Kick, knee, kick, punch.
Da, da, da,
again.
Da, da, da,
step, punch? Kick, Dun. Kick, knee, kick, touch. Or is it touch or punch?
It's definitely touch.
Punch?
Well, I've been seeing that
She's
wrong.
She's gone to the Black Widow training school.
Just people getting hit kick, all over
punch.
The place.
Kick,
That's
punch,
what a chorus
choke.
Line... You know, chorus line originally starred Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd watch that.
A chorus line was like the original Expendables, actually.
Everyone was there. Sly, Snipes, Bishop.
Oh my God, it's Sylvester Stallone. Look, Rita, look.
You're
know what
saying
I'm doing?
This to me, and I'm saying, like, I don't know a chorus line.
Oh, okay, I'm saying...
Also, I do know chorus line, and I don't know what you were just doing.
I know, I was trying to, like, it's like Miss Celine.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, we remember that character. You remember that character?
Look, Rita. Natalie, look, it's Natalie Wood.
No, Miss Celine is the character Alex Borstein plays, where she's the weird old 1,000-year-old costume lady.
Oh, for what? When they had a play or something?
No, she's in at least two episodes, but she's picking out Emily's dress for the graduation.
Yeah. Oh, right, right, right.
Doesn't matter because I'll cut all this out because no one got my joke. No. When my jokes
someone
award,
will get it.
I leave everyone's terrible jokes in and cut all my terrible ones out.
Oh, man.
Sure.
I'm just kidding. Where am I? You'll have to find out in the edit.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Lorelai got so mad when Luke said that he proposed to Nicole, like viscerally mad.
Yeah. She was like, what? That was supposed to be me.
It should have been
me. Which is why the last season doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I loved it. I loved how sweet they were and how lovely they were and how perfect they are for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And how she actually did feel feelings.
So did you see that coming? Because we didn't really get into season four predictions. But in the finale of season three, she kept saying like, oh, you're going to propose to her? You're going to propose to her? You're going to propose to her? Like kind of giving him guff for it. Did you see it coming at all, Demi?
No, I thought they were going to be broken up.
Yeah.
I was sure he's going to come back and be like, I don't want to talk about it because we broke up
which is essentially what happened.
Yeah, but I assumed it was going to be the kind of thing of like, we broke up and it was because of you or some stupid thing like that.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop where it's like, it's you and me, Lorelai. It's always been you and me.
Damn it, Lorelai.
Damn it, Lorelai. I love you.
Okay, so
he turns into Jimmy Stewart.
Lorelai.
He does when he gets mad. Look at all the candy, Taylor. Like, there is a definite, there's something that
you were there,
there,
and you were there.
Oh, you old building alone. Merry Christmas, you old ice cream shop. let's do a prediction, Demi.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do, no spoilers. Let's do when Luke and Lorelai get together, and the conversation that happens leading up to the moment of them getting together.
All right, they get together season 5 in the middle of the season. I'm not doing any finales or premieres anymore because I've been wrong every
You've
single time.
You've been burned every time, okay.
Yeah, and I won't get fooled again. so I'm going to say middle of season 5, and the conversation leading up to it is something like, Lorelai, what are we doing? Why do we do this to each other? I've had feelings for you forever. I'm a fool to even hide it anymore. And I know you have feelings for me too. And this is the kind of thing where it's like he catches up with her somewhere. She's about to go on a big trip.
Okay.
And he's like, you don't have to give me your answer now, but you got to be honest with yourself. And I think that you know that you want this too. And then when she comes back from the trip.
And then zip. Or no. Okay.
What?
I misread that. Like, oh, you want this too. And then he goes like, zip.
Oh, no. Okay. Not at all.
Okay.
And so he's about to walk away.
I'm
going to
give you
goes,
my Taylor tip.
Oh, God.
Damn it, Taylor tip.
Damn it, Taylor tip. So he starts to walk away, and then Maroon 5 swells up. I don't mind spending every... And she's like, Luke, wait.
She turns around.
She turns and runs to him. It's like, you were right. It's been you. It's always been you. And then, and she will, and they kiss. Be love. Spin around. And she will. Be love. And the camera.
Rain machine.
Camera's swirling around them. Rory looks on from a distance and smiles like, this is what you deserve. You deserve this happiness. They'll walk on my door.
Okay, I could see
and
it.
And then, obviously, Lorelai would have to say something like, this is almost too much. This is crazy. And have to call out how crazy it is.
Yeah.
No, we can't do this. Or she runs away in tears, like what pulls them apart when they embrace.
Luke, you're right, okay? You've always been right. I come to the diner, I see you every day, I get my coffee, and it just feels right. And it feels wrong when you're not there. And I need you here with me now. So kiss me, you idiot. Swell up the music. Kiss. The camera spins around them. It's a perfect moment. It's raining. Rory watches from the distance with Taylor. And Taylor makes some snarky comment. But Rory's like, oh, shut up, Taylor.
No. It has to be like this. She has to be like, you're my dog.
Dog?
What? What are you talking about? You know, like when you grow up and you have a dog who always is in the sort of in the corner of the place, and the dog is always there, and he kind of stinks, and he's kind of annoying, but somehow when you're not near that dog, you just think, I love you. I love that dog so much. You're my dog, Luke. You're my dog. Cue the music. Big swell. Rain machine.
You're so crazy. I don't understand why I'm your dog. But damn it. If you want me to eat out of a bowl, I will.
And by bowl, listen.
I don't mind eating out of a bowl. For the girl with the
I guess I should do mine now.
Yeah.
What
are your predictions for the show?
My prediction... Well, Jeff's already seen it, too, so he knows what happens. My prediction is... a war breaks out in Stars Hollow. There's gunfire everywhere. Taylor has an army. Kirk's his lieutenant. And Luke's,
so they lose.
Luke's leading the other side of the army, which is like old friends and relatives. Jess is his little lieutenant. He's like, okay, what do you want me to do? He's like, go on there on the front lines. I'll catch up with you. And Lorelai's like, Colonel or whatever, General, you can't do it. What if I never see you again? He's like, that's a risk you're going to have to be willing to take. The music swells, and then she walks away. She's not willing to take the risk. But then, 5 days later, they get together and kiss.
Oh, cool.
But yeah. He has gangrene.
But he has gangrene, so they have to act quick to reproduce.
We got a walk to remember situation.
Is it a walk to remember situation or a Fault in Our Stars situation now? What do you think is the bigger cultural touchdown?
A Fault in their Stars, probably. Fault in Our Stars. But I will always say a Walk to Remember situation. Mm-hmm.
You guys, are you ready for this big old blow?
Okay. What?
I don't know either of those movies. Cue the music!
Oh my God.
Rain Machine falls on the Gilmore Guys podcast.
Why is it raining indoors? Jeff, what did you do?
I'm a witch. I'm a Gilmore girl.
It's a Gilmore Guys miracle.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It's raining indoors and not outside at all.
Jimmy, look what we can do.
Wow. California's going through a drought, but we're not.
We're going to live forever.
We are going to live forever. Guys, that's some good fanfic.
What to remember was that Mandy Moore movie, 2003, I want to say.
And she dies in the end?
Spoiler, yes.
Yeah.
And that Fault of Our Stars, she dies in the end, too?
Spoiler, no.
Let's not spoil.
Well, I'm spoiling it. He dies.
What?
Yeah, he does.
Real twist.
But she... Okay.
I know. You'd think she died because she's the sick one.
And you wish she died. Uh-uh.
Y'all ever seen Bridge to Terabithia?
Oh, I haven't.
Is that cancer-y too? Is that a lot of cancer stuff?
No, worse.
Eight?
No.
This is a children's movie where the main character has your HIV positive.
I actually didn't see the movie, but I read the book.
What happened?
Someone get murdered?
Spoilers for Bridge to Terabithia, by the way.
Let's just go ahead and tell everyone. It's all getting spoiled today. Yeah.
Okay, so they have this like special place that they call Terabithia, and they always go there across this little bridge, right?
Right.
But then the boy is like becomes, or maybe it's the girl, I can't remember. Anyway, the boy goes to an art museum to like further his education, and the girl's like, "No, you gotta go, to the art museum." And then she goes to Terabithia because she's lonely, and a huge freak rainstorm happens. Floods the creek, and as she's on the bridge to Terabithia, she's washed away and murdered.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And they made a movie out of that, like a children's
Come
movie.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Did they?
They did.
Okay.
Did you guys think it was cute or not cute when this happened?
Thanks a lot. Yale can have you.
I thought it was adorable. I wrote it down. Yale can have
Yale
you.
Yale can have you. Oops,
Taylor has indoctrinated
so funny,
the children.
I know.
I'm a 7-year-old, 80-year-old Jewish man.
Yeah.
Yale can have you.
To Yale with you. Yeah, he's like tricked the town, like even the children, into being like, you should hate Yale because it ruined the premiere of my shop.
So
I stand by my theory that Taylor is a terrible person.
He is.
Yeah, he's the Walter White of this TV show.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think
I
that's
like
exactly.
Walter White better.
Yeah, I do too. So that whole storyline, which we didn't really touch on yet.
Walter White?
Yeah, Walter White. So he has cancer as well. Spoiler.
A lot of cancer in this.
And spoiler alert, he got to make meth to make money. So Taylor makes Rory queen, ice cream queen without her consent.
Yeah.
Just Mirana style. Oh, and he doesn't tell her. I did find that poster of her to be unbelievably funny, and I don't know why.
Because
just
it's
her
like,
face is like, eh.
It looks like, like it's not her face.
Well,
also.
She's like not, she doesn't have a stitch of makeup on. Her hair's in a ponytail.
Stitch of makeup.
It's clearly like a school ID that he found and scanned yes. And like put a crown on.
Alexis Bledel, though, she can look real like boring and lame, but then when she shows up for Friday night dinner, she's always so cute.
Yeah.
She like is obviously a gorgeous person, but. If you put her hair in a ponytail and don't put any makeup on her, she looks like a girl from Connecticut.
I think she looks beautiful all the time. Hashtag
she's
yes all
married, okay? So what? Lay off.
Okay.
I saw her husband on a plane to New York a couple
Vincent
months ago.
I can't believe he's ever been on a plane. That
yeah.
Dude,
was
like,
the plane made entirely of wood and yeah. Organic chickens?
And thrown really far?
Yeah.
Nope. It was a big, old, environmentally terrible plane.
He's probably real pissed about that.
Hmm. Oh, then there's... This made me laugh.
I heard he got jam.
Fake jam.
I love fake.
Oh. Did it cut it off? Shit.
I heard he got jam.
Fake jam.
I love fake.
Jam. I love fake jam.
He was going to say jam.
Yeah.
I heard he got jam.
Fake jam.
I love fake
jam.
Oops. Oh, another one that cracked me up, if I didn't do it wrong, was...
Perfect. Here's the cheese.
Perfect. Here's the cheese.
Was it on cheese purpose, plate. Do you think, that Emily was like, this dinner is going to be 4 hours long? Like,
yeah.
She was
totally.
Trying to be like...
But here's the thing is, the souffle thing...
Is true.
That would have had, she would have had to prepare that. She would have had to go with that thing before she found out that Lorelai wasn't coming to dinner.
Yeah.
So there's holes here. Well, the biggest hole here, and the thing that people have pointed out to us the most in the Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
Is, it's this is from Marie Johnson on Facebook, actually. It's frustrating that any drama with Emily could have been avoided by Rory showing up and saying, sorry, Mom wanted to come to dinner, but she's out running my errands for school because I got the move-in date wrong.
Totally.
And we thought we had a whole week to do everything. Open your mouth, Rory. Use your words. That's what Marie says.
I am with Marie. That is so true. Why 100%. Wouldn't you just say, like, I know it's cruddy, but I messed up.
Yeah.
Rory secretly wants to be like wants to be inciting conflict between them.
Do you think so? Do you think she's secretly a rabble rouser?
I don't think so. Because there was that rabbles. One time where she just said to Emily, like, you're being really stupid.
Emily, you're being a bit of a bitch. Right
you're being the Rory fucking said. Worst.
Oh, gosh.
You're my grandmother and I hate you.
Oh,
ooh, you're nasty.
Teresa LC asked, would an evening watching ballroom dancing videos with Emily Gilmore be a dream come true, Kevin Porter?
No, because she'd fall asleep at a certain point, and then you have to be like, all right,
yeah.
I gotta go.
I mean, yeah, I gotta go.
Oh, Kevin.
No, I didn't mean, cuddle time.
When she's asleep?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's the best when someone falls asleep on it. Okay, that's getting weird.
I know.
That's not weird.
I know what you mean. Just
Jeff, help me.
Sorry, pal. You're on your own on this one.
You are adrift in the sea.
Good thing I'm cutting this out.
I think it would be fun to watch ballroom dancing with Emily because she seemed to have a real passion about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I want to hear her commentary about it.
One time, this girl who had extreme passion about rocks started talking to me about rocks, and I was like, I'm totally into these rocks.
Wow.
And it's because she had passion.
Yeah, if you talk to someone you're really passionate about, even the most boring stuff, you're like,
whoa. Like Gilmore Girls.
Tell me about the housing crisis. Yeah.
Tell me about Obamacare. Clown Pillow tweeted, no question. But Babette and Maury had sex on the couch while those Loreleis were gone for the summer. I'm forever scarred.
Oh, brother.
Do you know who this is? So there's a clown pillow that truly lives in Loreleis' living room.
Uh-huh.
Creepy-looking clown pillow. And he started an account on Twitter. And he often tweets us.
Oh, that's so nice. It seems so crazy how he got his little pillow ends to... Do on his iPhone.
Little stray pieces of yarn.
Yeah.
Also, we haven't talked about this, Demi, but someone started an account at the Ghost of Fran.
Oh my God.
Oh, her picture is very sweet.
And then her only tweet is, just found out from Gilmore Guys that Clown Pillow killed me. I'm going to haunt his ass.
Clown Pillow smothered Fran?
Yeah, that's
claims. Our belief.
That's what he claims on Twitter.
Did we accidentally trigger like a Gilmore Girls role-playing world?
Not accidentally.
Oh, no.
Ugh, I would much rather role-play in the Gilmore Girls world than like...
50 Shades of Grey?
Ugh, yes. 1,000%.
I just want
to
be
Wouldn't
someone...
you want to go to Stars Hollow? It's so cute.
Absolutely.
I
want
to be someone who goes to visit Stars Hollow and realizes that everyone in the town is, like, insane.
Would you want to... Okay, this is... Sorry, I didn't follow up to your thing. I was just like, okay, anyway.
No, go.
No, but you find out that they're insane, like, that they're not...
Like,
mentally...
I come into town and I talk to Taylor for 5 minutes and I'm like, you guys deal with this dude? Then I talk to Miss Patty, it's like, okay, calm down a little. And then I talk to Babette and Maury, I'm just like, you guys are high, right? And just like going through everyone and being like, what's happening here?
Yeah, that's the Twilight Zone situation. So Paige Fernberg, who did all of our live show art and does all these amazing pieces of art on Twitter and Instagram, she asked, would you want to know the sex or the gender of your baby?
I wouldn't care.
Yeah, I think Jackson's making a real stand about it.
Yeah.
And Suki, by the way, when they go out to the weird baby stuff shed that needs to exist for some reason, she screams pretty loudly, "It's a boy."
Oh, yeah,
she
knows.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that I would want to not know just for the surprise factor, but also if I found out, I'd just be like, I'd be ecstatic regardless. So it's like, whatever.
I think this is how Jackson's going to sound when he finds out.
Oh, boy.
I think it'll sound something like that. Amanda Walker writes, Lauren Graham gets the gold medal for crying, no contest, but it seems she's it seems she skipped acting class the day they covered maniacal laughter. Watching her attempt to whip herself into a punch drunk frenzy was painful.
Wait, who is this?
This is Amanda Walker.
Amanda Walker, I have something to tell you. I categorically disagree with you.
Mm.
I thought the maniacal laughter was actually quite real because it was that like where it's not actual like
yeah, right.
I thought it felt very real.
It kind of just
seems
tickles
like someone who would be really, really tired and just like,
I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Genuinely seemed like disoriented laughter, like not, it wasn't maniacal, it was like, I haven't slept in 48 hours. Left.
Right.
Exactly.
I think it's a hard note to play, though, most of the time.
And like, I think the writing wasn't so fair in leading up to it.
Right.
To like, help her, but...
Oh, Dad's asleep.
I thought she played it well, though.
I feel like we've seen this a lot in...
Not to cause a Twitter war with Amanda.
Oh, sure. Well, she's not on Twitter. She's on Facebook, so it'd be a Facebook war.
Well, good. I can handle a Facebook war.
Twitter war, not prepared for it. Facebook war, got it.
Yeah, you poke someone.
But yeah, I feel like we've seen that in different TV shows and movies where it's like, there's like a terrible situation and someone starts laughing like, oh, it's so bad. Oh, I know. Isn't it terrible how terrible it is? Bah! Like, I feel like we've seen that a lot. This is a slightly... different version of that. I think it's hard to play. I think she did okay, but it wasn't my favorite.
I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I thought it got false when she said, I just got the Jimmy Carter reference.
That oh, that weird. Doesn't make sense at
I
all.
I didn't get it.
Because you get every reference, Lorelai.
Yeah.
So.
I was very confused about the laughter.
I stand by it.
Christine Wagner asks, I'm calling the economics into question again. Who buys everyone that they know gifts when they go on vacation? I understand Suki and Luke, but Andrew, are they really that good of friends? Well, we kind of covered that before.
Yeah.
But we're with you. We're with you.
Yeah. Agree 100%. Any other... Why haven't they shown Rory's freckles before? They are adorable. Gret Burt asked that.
Maybe
did they
she
show...
got them in Europe.
Oh, maybe she did. Is that why I'm finding her more attractive? Because she has freckles?
Maybe.
I think it's because she's legal.
No, she was always legal. She was always. She started the show when she was 18.
Yeah, but the character.
Right. I don't. Yeah. Or is she? I don't know. Her face looked kind of different. Man, being a weirdo.
It's a European glow.
That sweet.
She might have like filmed her first movie that summer, and now she's.
Oh, maybe it's traveling pants, and maybe that was it.
Now she's walking with the confidence of like I'm a star.
I just hang out with a gossip girl and Ugly Betty.
And
Joan of Arcadia.
And Joan of Arcadia. Yeah. And Mrs. David Cross.
For some reason.
Isn't that strange?
Are they married?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Isn't it?
That's why she was in The Adventures of Todd Margaret or whatever,
yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw her at Joe's Pub in New York.
How's she doing?
I don't know. She didn't talk to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Rude.
Actually, that's a lie. She was talking about how she wrote a book of poems and I was eavesdropping on her.
Oh.
So it's not a lie that she didn't talk to you.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Is the book of poems called Ramblin' with Tamblin'?
Oh.
No, but it is about dead actresses.
Oh, great. Miss Celine will love it. Oh, my God. It's Natalie Wood. Any other stray observations before we go? Oh, there was that weird gay joke that Lorelai made to Luke.
Now that you've been married, it'll silence all those questions.
What questions?
You know, single man of a certain age who lives alone.
You're kidding.
Hey, I always defended you. I always said, hey, so what if he is?
There was the scene of Babette in the very beginning when she comes out running, panicked.
Sugar!
The town is obsessed with that family.
Do you think Sally Struthers just speaks like that now, or is that a character choice?
It's slightly a character choice. Okay. Slightly, because I did, because I wondered about that, because there was an episode a while back where she sang and it sounded normal. It wasn't like, oh, sing, can you sing? But then I watched an interview with her from like maybe a year or two ago, and she sounds fairly normal. She doesn't sound like, huh. There's a little bit of gruffness, and she's obviously older, but she doesn't sound like Babette.
Oh, good.
Thank God. Oh, there's that part where Richard quoted Princess Bride.
As you wish, my dear.
I thought you said Princess Diaries for some reason.
You always get those mixed up.
I do, but I love Princess Bride so much, so I don't know why I do that. It's one of my favorite movies.
They should just be the same movie.
They should.
The Princess Brideries. This moment made me laugh.
I will be back in that ridiculous pilgrim outfit at Thanksgiving, so everybody just get off my back.
The smattering of applause.
It's like, I guess we got to clap after someone talks on the microphone.
Oh, Yale can have you.
Oy vey, look at my boogers.
I'm going to ride my tricycle.
Well, I guess you're not the only one who gets a treat tonight.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's getting the tailor tip.
he goes to bed long before she does.
I think he's given the tailor tip.
Maybe.
Look at this place!
He sounds like a demon.
You can hear the spit coming out of his mouth.
Look at this place!
But also, like, didn't Luke notice that they were knocking through his wall before they put a window in?
Yeah.
Well, he was gone on the cruise, maybe.
OMG, go Amy Sherman-Palladino.
Here's the thing that doesn't make sense, though, is that at Fran's funeral in the last season, Taylor had to delay the opening of his ice cream shop, and now it's not opening until 3 months later. So there's no explanation for that, really, I don't think.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm saying this is the grand opening, but he was going to have the grand opening when Fran's funeral was, which is 3 months prior.
So it would have been like the next
week.
So
why would he wait? Yeah,
maybe
why would
he wait?
It was
a soft opening that he had to delay.
Oh, speaking of soft openings.
That and then he moved on.
Yeah. Continue.
Hey, remember, guys. Anyway, how does Jackson not know about when the shed is exploding with blue? Also, are they just going to move all that back in the house? It's from Janelle. I'm okay with that.
Jackson can't be walking around with a button that says, I do not want to know my baby's sex.
Yeah, we should have made those buttons.
Tell you, that seems like the most normal thing in Star Solo. Like, I could see some guy being like, oh, I'm really adamant about it.
Yeah.
That just seemed like, I mean, I'm not saying I want to be friends with that guy, but I feel like I know that guy.
Yeah.
With Lil Quentin Tarantino. He looks more and more like him the more I watch this show.
I don't see it yet.
Dead vegetable storage.
Oh, my God.
That's all I'll say.
Perfect. Here's the cheese.
Just wanted to play again. I think we might be done with the season premiere.
It's time to rate the episode.
Do we need to dissect the conflict anymore between Emily and Lorelai? They're pretty exhausted by it. Stupid Roy didn't say anything.
Yeah, even Richard is like, when Emily's being passive aggressive about it at dinner, Richard's like, okay, here we go again.
He's like, settle down, bitch.
And then he's like, there's my phone call.
All business.
I have
room.
To sleep now.
I have to do business.
They always just like make him go out. Mm-hmm. He's there. Like, he was there on the day you taped this, but you just are, like, always constantly making him leave.
I like to believe that he has, like, a timer. It's like, I will come in for 1 hour, and then he just says the line, I have to take a call every time he wants to leave. And it's like, I guess he's gone.
Yeah. And that's why, I don't know. I don't want to make fun of this, talking about it, but if they did a season 8, I feel like it would be very sad that Richard isn't in it,
right?
Because Ed Herman's passed away. But I think the idea that his passing away like brings the girls back together, or like the town, or something, or like you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like as a story that's interesting and it has like built-in weight and gravity to it to reunite them. Yeah. And like the core of that family dynamic is the three girls. Like Richard is part of it, but the core of it is the three girls.
Is that like the buzz that there's going to be a reboot of the Gilmore Girls?
There's no buzz.
No, there's no buzz. But why, if you can get them all in the same room, they're all going to be there except for Melissa McCarthy. Right. And because she's busy and right. Milo.
That you couldn't get Melissa McCarthy to be in it either.
No.
She got stuff to
do. You don't think she would do it?
She's got her own show.
Unless they did it like Arrested Development or What Had American Summer. No. There's no way. She got stuff to do. She got movies and a TV show to do.
She got Spies.
I forget about her TV show all the time.
I do too. I constantly forget it's still on.
Yeah.
And their schedule is so wonky donky because she's like, I'm filming a movie in Budapest.
Oh, is the Mike and Molly schedule really crazy?
Yeah.
That's so funny that
it's run, they rehearse in one day and shoot it the next day kind of a thing.
Well, that's like most sitcoms, right?
Most sitcoms that far into their run, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you can get all those people in the same room, and by all accounts, like, who had, like, tension and it was, like, a tough working environment, then I feel like you could do a season 8. I feel like you could do it. Especially in the age of the reboot, I just think it's
question
very doable.
Just would they want to?
Yeah,
would
exactly.
Sherman Palladino.
Does she have a vision for what?
There
that
is
would
a
be?
Vision. The vision wasn't executed for the finale. She knew exactly what she wanted it to be, down to the last two words. This isn't like X-Files. It's not like Twin Peaks. There's a reason for it to happen. And I'm not saying I want 8 more seasons. I don't. I want like 6 more episodes.
Right.
And that's it.
I just don't know.
Why are you shooting me down, Demi?
I just don't know about that.
You're gonna want it after season 7, though.
I just feel like Amy Sherman Palladino is so like pop culture savvy that she, and I could just see her rolling her eyes at like the idea of reboots and stuff. I bet she wouldn't want to.
Well, no, I guess reboot's the wrong word. A continuation or a whatever.
The actual ending, the vision.
The actual ending. One episode, 1 2-hour episode. I'd be happy with that. If they acted it out in a black box theater, I'd be happy with that.
You just want to see what those last two words were.
I do. Yeah. By the way,
maybe we can get her to whisper it to you.
Yeah, that would be a great silent auction item.
For $1,000, Amy Sherman Palladino will whisper 4 words to you. She can just choose any 4 words.
It's like Lost
Carly
in Translation.
Carly Simon do that about. What? Oh yeah, Lost in Translation. Mm-hmm. Is that was something in a so? I think Carly Simon like whispered in someone's ear what who the like
you're so vain.
You're so vain. Person was.
Huh. It's you. And then Bill Murray just said, "Can you pick up my dry cleaning tomorrow?" What do you think the last two words of the show would be?
Gilmore Girls.
No.
I'm insistent that is
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Rain Machine.
Freeze frame. Oh.
I'm insistent the last two words are Luke going, "There's my Gilmore Girls."
That's 4 words.
Yeah, that's the last 4 words. Sorry.
Oh, I see. I'm going to say the last two words are,
"Damn it, Taylor."
I bet it's something between Lorelai and Emily more than it is about between Lorelai and Luke.
Thanks, Mom.
No, I think it's between Lorelai and Rory. I think it has to be.
Yeah, but I feel like the series was, like, they were already super close, and the series was all about repairing the relationship between Lorelai and Emily more than it was about continuing the relationship between Lorelai and Rory.
Right. Well, I think that arc becomes very interesting, though, starting this season. I don't want to give anything away, but the Rory Lorelai relationship, I think, takes an interesting turn. But we'll get to it.
That's true.
Yeah. My vote for the last two words is oops, bye.
Oops, bye.
Mine would be, oh shit, except for they bleep out shit. So it just goes, oh, beep.
That'd be good WB.
And who says it? Kirk?
Yeah, he's falling off a mountain.
Oh, no. That'd be fun. Okay, let's rate the episode. I think it's a solid season premiere. There's nothing I hated about it, but it didn't do too much for me. I'm going to give it 7.8 out of 10. Is that too high?
No, it's just very decimal.
7.864
okay.
out of 10 Alice in Wonderland figurines.
Allison, what are my figurines?
Yeah.
They were pipes.
Oh, pipes. Sorry.
You idiot.
7.864 out of 10 biscottis.
Boom.
Honestly, I feel like this episode was a lot of filler. Aside from the bomb that Luke drops at the end, I felt like this episode was very passable. It seemed like they were just kind of like, it's just very transitional for Rory to get to Yale, but they didn't want to just jump into her getting to Yale.
Right.
So I liked the episode, though. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It just wasn't eventful. I would say this episode is a solid 7 out of 10 fake jams.
I love fake jam.
I love fake jam.
I really loved this episode while I was watching it. And as I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is a nice one that I got to like watch for this show, because they kind of visit all of the characters and you get so many different people. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, Netflix has that thing where like it just automatically plays the next episode. And, yeah. You know, I was just like packing at my apartment, so it just kept going. And I watched that episode and I loved that episode so much. Oh,
what you're waiting
to see. It's going to be so good.
Lorelai's first day at Yale?
Yeah, Rory's. Yeah, I guess Lorelai's kind of too.
Oh, and, no, that's the name of the episode.
Oh, Lorelai's first date, yeah.
Boom.
You know what? Oh, double gotcha, you know what? Again.
You know what? That one was on me.
Classic gotcha journalist.
That was on me. So anyway, that one made me feel like, I kind of agree with you, Demi, where it's like, yeah, this is a little bit of filler, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. The next one is good, though.
I'll say 6 out of 10. Reprehensible Taylor quotes.
Okay. Easy on the nuts.
Taylor tip.
Just the Taylor tip.
By the way, those ones I don't have any problem with. It's the ones where he just is cruel that I hate.
Here's $20.
He's completely in the wrong on the Rory stuff, and it made me feel bad that Rory was like, is he right? Do I not have time for the town anymore?
Yeah, that sucked that she was actually questioning her identity based on this madman.
He
man.
Never asked you. That legally, you have a case here. Like,
legally. This is actionable much more so than Luke's
voice. Go talk to Nicole.
It was a violation.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if Luke and Nicole were still together, Luke would have done something about it himself. Just be like, I'm going to shut down the shop. I can't wait.
Now it's time for a little segment we call Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. Much like the cross stitch up there.
Yeah. Oh, good cross stitching.
Right? Carissa at Warren White.
My favorite,
Texas.
Your cross stitching post.
You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere.
You can follow me at Electro Lemon, also everywhere. Lemon.
You can follow me at Boom Boom Hiller, also everywhere, but really I'm much better at Instagram than I am at Twitter.
So follow you at Boom Boom Hiller on Instagram?
Yeah, I'm that on Twitter too. I'm just not very good at it.
Okay. Why do you feel like that is? You just don't like doing it. It just seems like work.
Yeah, I'm not good at like editing my words to be really funny, but I'm really good at like just capturing images in the real world that are funny.
Mm.
Ooh, yes, I just gave myself a little Instagram compliment.
Instagram compliment.
Fave.
It is funny, the comedians that prefer Instagram to Twitter, Twitter to Instagram. I feel like maybe performers enjoy Instagram more and writers like Twitter more.
Touché.
Touché Guevara. And you can follow us on Twitter at Gilmore Guys Show or on Instagram at Gilmore Guys Show, facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show. Email us, gilmoreguysshow@gmail.com. We got to do another Gilmail, guys. It's been too long. Or as we also call them, Emaily Gilmail. So send an email our way. We read them all.
And Amanda, I look forward to our Facebook war.
Yes.
Ooh.
A war is coming between Jeff and Amanda.
Winter is coming. .com.
.org.
Is that the war that Luke is the general for, where he goes off and kisses to Maroon 5?
Yeah. That's the one.
That's the one.
Sorry, I didn't add to that.
If you edit this out.
Oh, let's sing the theme song, guys. Jeff, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. Here we go.
I don't mind spending ever. I knew it. I fucking knew it.
Oh my god, there's a rain machine in here.
Who keeps turning this on?
Wow.
We have so much equipment here. It's going to get drenched.
I'm kissing someone and he's upside down.
When there's a drought, you don't need rain. You need love and friendship.
Yeah, boy.
Okay, well. At least the chorus.
Up at your door.
Damn it, Lorelai.
I've told you so many times.
I have something to tell you, Lorelai.
I want more.
Just the tailor tip.
I love you, Lorelai.
I don't mind spending every day.
My name is Luke D.
I'm on your corner in the pouring
and I'm gonna
rain.
Give you the Luke D.
Look for the girl.
That parachute
with
was heavy.
The Sandinistas.
Ask her if she wants the tailor tip, and she will.
Here's the cheese.
The ice cream will.
As you wish, my lady. That was fun.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train where you lead. I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need
me to be with you, I will follow.
Take love tip where you lead.
I will follow
anywhere.
Here's the cheese.
Tell
oh shit. Here's the cheese.
Damn it, Taylor.
Need to be with you.
Come on, girls. Green machine.
With the balls.
Wow. Oh, I'm so
good. Feeling lonely.
It's, I can't do
just
this.
Kidding.
This is really like reminding me of that Broadway show, Beautiful.
Oh.
I want to make you see beautiful.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.